The question was asked. If one is in a theater listening to men singing, and suddenly, lo and behold, a woman is given the mic and she is going to begin singing, must one step out of the theater? And in order to try and address that question, we have to begin with some introductions.
Can I ask that before we... If you're in this exact case, because the same deal was brought up to me, and I believe by the same person, about somebody playing music in their dorm room.
So that, I was going to get to that too. We'll try to get that too. Okay. The Torah wants every Jew to be a modest person. And modesty is measured in different ways. Modesty is measured by not bragging. Modesty is measured by not revealing of oneself. Modesty is measured by not revealing, even in instances where no one will see what I reveal. A modest person, when he goes to the bathroom, does it modestly, even when he's in the dark and no one else is going to see. Modesty is a way of life. So, a way we are supposed to try and adopt. Modesty is something which adorns everything we do. Every action we do can be adorned with modesty. And our sages say, even godly actions, when they are done modestly, are adorned. We were given a treasure. We were given the female race. And God wants us to treasure that and treat it with modesty. It is interesting that in the name of women's rights, they take the woman and they take her out of modesty. And we know that if you really treasure a woman, then you treat her the way you would something that is very precious. You don't go plaster her all over billboards and say, oh, that's women's rights. No. We say women's rights is the right to be modest. The right to, if we'll call it, be concealed, but be concealed in the way that you don't take the queen's jewels and put them out in the marketplace for everyone to see. The queen's jewels, only people who merit to see the queen's jewels will see the queen's jewels. Things in our day and age are being devalued. There is almost nothing that is of value. Today, almost everything is disposable. We've reached a point where they're discussing disposable human body parts, right? Let's see if we could get interchangeable parts. So they're working on it. That's one of the ideas of cloning. You clone another person like yourself, and then you leave him in the freezer, and then if you ever need part of his body parts, you just take it, right? So that's science fiction today, but it's in the thought and in the works. When we take the Torah scroll out of the ark, so first of all, where is the Torah scroll all week long? It's not out for all to see. It's an ark. And there's a paroches, there's a curtain in front of it. And then inside that ark, the Torah scroll has its own jacket. And it's rolled, it's closed. It's not standing there open. We don't leave books open. We say, when we have something of value, so we open it when is necessary, and when not, we keep it closed. You don't leave a sefer open just for the heck of it. If you're learning from it, you leave it open. And if you don't, you close it. Of course, all these things are within reason. We don't have to be nervous. Well, I'm not looking in this sefer right now, so maybe I'll shut it. In 2 seconds, I will look at the sefer, so I don't have to be nervous to open and shut my sfar. But at the same time, we have to remember that things that we value, we don't put out, we don't hang them out for all to see. There are levels in modesty. Certain levels of modesty are obligatory. A person's not allowed to walk around naked. Okay. So basic modesty is required of everyone. We don't expect a woman to sit in the house, cover herself with 15 veils, and not peek out the door. That's insanity. That's not modesty, right? I mean, the princess, kol kvuda bat melech pnima, the princess isn't seen running around the streets. she is more secluded, but it's not that she's hiding under 15 veils in the house, it's that she's not seen just roaming the streets randomly. The Torah wanted us to view all our daughters and wives as princesses, in the most positive sense of the word. The Torah did not want the Jewish woman to be just walking aimlessly around the streets for all to see and shooting the breeze with every guy in a street corner. That wasn't what the Torah wanted. And when that does happen, we have a devaluing of the women, the Jewish women. That's not the way it should be. Even this concept that women are out in the workforce is not what Chazal had in mind. Women always worked, but they worked out of the house. When necessary, they went out. But it wasn't a situation that they were leaving the house every morning to go to a job, to be someone else's secretary, to talk to 15 people who are coming into his office. It was a situation where they were at home and they were either kneading or they were weaving or they were dealing with the kids. They were doing many, many jobs every day. But they weren't leaving on a steady basis. This concept that a woman leaves the house for a job is a new concept. But what is permitted and what is prohibited? All of this is, in a general sense, the direction that the Torah wanted us to take. But the Torah also told us that certain things are permitted and certain things are prohibited. A woman is not allowed to walk around in the streets with parts of her that showing that should really be covered. So how do we define what must a woman cover? What is the minimum level of modesty? So our sages look to the work of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, and King Solomon, in his description of the relationship between the Jewish people and God in Song of Songs, so he describes it like a young man and a young girl who are madly in love. And that's really the love song of the nation of the Jewish people. We are madly in love with God. The Jewish people, our lover is God, and God's lover is the Jewish people. And that is the Song of Songs. It is a song about the relationship between the Jewish people and God. But in that song, the metaphors that he uses are about a young lady, and the young man is describing his affection for the young lady. And in his descriptions, so he says, oh, my girl, she is exceptional, she is. And then he describes certain features of hers. So we have on tradition that each of those features corresponds to certain aspects of the Jewish people. One of the things that he describes is Ki kolech arev umarech nave, for your voice is sweet, is pleasant, and the sight of you is nice. It is pleasant to behold of you. When Shlomo HaMelech described ki kolech arev, your voice is sweet, is pleasant, he articulated a concept that we had on tradition from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, kol beisha erva. Hearing a woman sing is considered like seeing a part of her that should be covered. A woman singing is supposed to be something that's private between her and her husband. It's a beautiful thing. If women want to get together and sing, that's gorgeous. If men stand there and listen, that's wrong. We consider that something that's private that should not be flaunted in public. Now, what happens if you have zmiros? You're singing at a Shabbos table and Bezrat Hashem, it's you and your wife and all of your kids. So then there's nothing wrong with your kids hearing your wife sing, and there's nothing wrong with you hearing your daughter sing. But what happens when you have a guest over? So then there are different customs. Some have the custom that the women sing along, even though technically a man is not supposed to hear a woman singing, but because it is a group, there are the men at the table singing and the women are joining in, so long as their voice isn't heard above the men's. Sometimes, I mean, if she's a soprano and everyone hears her and not anyone else, so then that's not called everyone singing together. But if everyone's singing together, so she should keep her voice like together with everyone else's. And then there's a very strong custom that says that it is okay for the women to sing. That happens to be the Yekish custom, and not only the Yekis have this custom that women may sing at the Shabbos table. Every person should do in accordance with their own custom, and that depends on what your custom is. For a woman to sing alone, so that constitutes a woman, she can sing, but I'm not supposed to listen. I'm not supposed to listen because that's considered something that should be kept modest. And just like I'm not supposed to look at parts that are supposed to be kept modest, so too I'm not supposed to listen to things that are supposed to be kept modest. Now this is all true about me hearing her voice. Your question was not about me hearing her voice. Your question was about me hearing the microphone reproduce her voice. So if we really wanted to push it, we could try to find the leniency there. But in that example, it would be really pushing it. I don't think we could be that lenient, because who are we kidding? Hearing her through the microphone is the equivalent of hearing her. There's no difference. You could say technically, right, the Torah said that hearing her voice directly, that is the prohibition. I'm not hearing her voice, so I didn't do what the Torah said I shouldn't do. Right, technically you didn't do it. But what is the Torah telling us? That's something that should be kept modest. Her voice is supposed to be kept with her family. If you're there, you see her lips moving, you hear it, but technically what you're hearing is not her voice, so you're right. Technically, you're not hearing her voice. We cannot say that that is called the Isha Erva. You can't say that's what the Torah said, a woman's voice is something that's supposed to be kept modest, because what you're hearing is not her voice. You're hearing her voice make the vibrations in the diaphragm in the microphone, being reproduced into electric signals, then being deciphered by the speakers into new sound waves. And the sound waves you're hearing now were caused by her voice, but they're not her voice. So technically, you could make the claim, I'm not hearing her voice. That's not called Be'isha Erva. But practically, being that the idea was that we're not supposed to hear it, so one should really not make that claim in that regard, because she's standing here, her lips are moving, I'm seeing her, I'm hearing the equivalent of her voice, so that's not what the halacha would want us to do. The question is a greater question. There's more room to question whether we could be lenient when it comes to listening to a tape recorder, when it comes to listening to the radio, or anything like that, where I'm not hearing her. I'm hearing a complete reproduction of her voice. So here, you cannot say that you're hearing a woman. There is no woman here. There's a CD player. There's a tape recorder. So there's a discussion among the different halachic opinions, and there are different opinions in this. But basically, being that we are doing tshuva, and we are working to move forward, either in gear or in tshuva, and we are accustomed to this, so we could go with the more lenient opinion in this, where there isn't a live woman performer before us, but there's a tape playing or the radio playing. And there we would say, being that the dry halacha is that this is not a woman singing, this is a reproduction of a woman singing, but that's not a woman. There's no woman standing here singing. So then we would say it boils down to, does it affect a person or not? Meaning, if it causes a person to be turned on, if it arouses a person, so then it's prohibited. There's no room to be lenient. But if it does not arouse a person, so then a person could be lenient because there is no woman standing here and singing, and he could rely on the opinions that say that we could be lenient. But, and this is where what you mentioned comes in, what happens when the guy next door comes knocking on the door and says, hey, what are you playing women's music here for? And you could explain to him, well, technically there's no woman here, it's permitted. But remember, it is only permitted if it doesn't arouse you. So what do you want your next door neighbor to do? Tell you, hey, that's arousing me, turn it off? That's not nice, he's not going to tell you that. So if you want to listen to a woman's voice singing, no problem, you could rely on that opinion, being that there is no woman here singing, but you should do it in a way that doesn't infringe on other people's privacy. Again, there are many opinions. I'm not going into the discussion of whether the woman is alive or the woman is dead and you know what she looks like or you don't know what she looks like. I'm going with one halachic opinion, which happens to be one of the most, if not the most, lenient that I know. And the reason I'm going with the more lenient opinion is because being that there are so many things that a person has to contend with when he does tshuva and when he does gear, so I don't think we have to add this one. If it doesn't affect the person, there's no problem with his relying on this opinion. If someone would ask me this question and he grew up in Me'ah Sha'arim and he's never listened to a woman singing and he doesn't miss it and he doesn't need it, and he calls me up and he says, Yanko, I say, Yo, and he says, Kenich, so then I say, hey, wait a second, you never did it before, you don't miss it, you don't need it, wait a second, why should he go with the lenient opinion? But that's not what we're talking about here, so then I wouldn't worry about it, provided that you're not infringing on someone else. Yes, Mayor. That's a different discussion. That's a different discussion. I mean, there is room to say that, but there's more to be said about that. Yeah. We'll get to you, Moshe. Yeah. The fact that a psik ratio, when I do something which is the direct cause, means that I did it, all it means is that I did it. Right? I agree with you, she made that sound come out, but that sound is still not her voice, even though her voice made it happen. What psik ratio teaches me is that if there's a cause and effect that must be, then you cannot separate the cause from the effect. So you're right, she caused that noise, no one's contesting that. But that still doesn't mean that that noise is her voice. You with me? It's two different things. You're right.
My finger never touched the straight, turn on the light. It wasn't even a voice.
I agree with you. She caused that noise to happen. But that still doesn't make it her voice. It makes it a direct resultant of her voice, but not her voice. Yeah?
Yes, but it didn't have the same mind.
In the laws of Shabbos, I'm concerned with, did I cause that to happen? I'm not concerned with, is that the same thing as my voice? Did I cause the outcome or didn't I? Here I'm concerned with, is that her voice or is it not her voice? Yes, sir.
If the power went off on this floor for about 5 seconds, would it affect you?
Yes.
It would affect the video camera.
Okay.
So, I mean, it would affect them.
And also the other thing,
just a second, Moshe, yeah.
What if you know your neighbor to be one of those overly buffer or everything, just to be overly buffer?
So I don't think this is an area where you could force him to be makel. Meaning, even though he might come knocking on your door and say, shut that down, what you doing playing women's music around here? And you tell him, well, my rabbi says I could do it. And also, well, I don't know where your rabbi got his smicha from. What kind of rabbi is you listening to? First of all, stay away from neighbors like that. And if you can't stay away from neighbors like that, at least stay away from fights with neighbors like that. And being that technically he's in the right, meaning he's saying, I don't want to hear that. So even though you can be lenient for yourself, I don't think it's fair to force him to be lenient. And you might say, what are you being such a machmir for? I want to be such a machmir. He's entitled to it. And it's not only that. You go to Muncie, you go to regular frum communities, people don't listen to women singing. Okay. I mean, that is the generally accepted thing in the more orthodox world. You go to a more modern neighborhood, so then what's accepted is that people do listen to it. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. But I'm saying, if you're in a neighborhood where that's the norm is that people don't listen to this, so then if you're going to change from that, at least do it privately. He does have a point. Not because of the halacha, but because that's the norm. But he also has a point because of the halacha. Both points are really valid. On this point or something else?
Yes. Also, if I go and watch a movie, I'm not allowed to watch a movie at all. Like, let's say I go with a friend to a